Holding ourselves responsible is an act against our pride. When I take responsibility, when I can say, okay, this is what I did. It wasn't good. It wasn't right. But I did it. I won't do it again. Holding ourselves responsible is an act against our pride and self-interest. When you're not enlightened, when you're not conscious as a woman or a man, you're more consumed with looking good rather than being good. You're more consumed with imagery over character. But when you become conscious and you are enlightened, you're more moved by your true character, because that's the only thing that's going to last. See, my painting a picture for y'all and, you know, faking to be something I'm not, that can only last as long as that little, you know, gig can go. But when I am, when I take responsibility for my life and I actually make concrete changes in my life, that goes into eternity with me. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso what? Confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whosoever takes responsibility for his shortcomings shall have what? Mercy. But the one that covers his sins shall not prosper. Most folk are covering their sins. They're protecting their image. Care nothing about no image, man. I care about reality. I don't care what people, you know, I mean, to a certain extent, of course, I care what people think, but the real is I don't care what people think, not as long as I know I'm right or getting right. I don't have to be perfect because nobody is, but I got to be in the process of perfecting. And to perfect means I have to take responsibility for the areas where I'm flawed. It's a tough, tough decision. Most folk don't want to do it, man. Most folk don't want to take responsibility. They'll argue you down. And they'll just keep, you know, flipping the conversation just to protect their image. No substance, just style. Right? Look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, take responsibility for our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, cover up our, you know, issues, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. How do we make him a liar? Because God is the one that said all have sinned. So it's no news that you and I are flawed. That's not news. God Ben said that. That's why we needed, I don't mean to turn this into a Bible study, but that's why we needed Jesus to come. Because in the beginning, Adam, the first man, was put in a perfect situation and he sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus didn't have a natural father. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, leaped into Mary's womb and said to her, now you've conceived. She was a virgin. She gave birth to a son that was the Son of God. And he lived a sinless life like no man could ever do and died on the cross for all men's sins. One portion of scripture says, through one man's disobedience, we all became sinners. Through another man's righteousness, we all become righteous. I didn't mean to go there. So number one is the decision to forgive. That's a tough one. Number two is the decision to take responsibility. Number three, I only have four. Now, the third tough decision that determines destiny is the decision. Are y'all waiting for it? To let go. Tough, tough decision. The decision to forgive. Lee, if you need to move around, you can move around. Lee's looking. She want to get in the kitchen. They don't care. They like to see you anyway. So the decision to forgive. The decision to what? Take responsibility. And then thirdly is the decision to let go. Tough, tough decision. But you can't imagine how many people are stuck in a place in life that they hate because they just won't make the decision to let go. They're waiting on a feeling. But letting go requires a decision. Sometimes it's your children you got to let go. When they get to a certain age, you got to just let them go. You got to let them go and learn on their own. Sometimes they got to hit their head against the wall that you've, you know, encountered in the past. You can't protect them from that. You got to let them go. And you got to what? Move forward with your life. Live your life. Sometimes it's a person that you were in love with. And you thought that you would spend the rest of your life with this person, and they proved to be a low-down, no-good, blankety-blankety-blank. You got to call it what it is. Let it go. Let them go. So many people are struggling with not letting go, just not being able to let go. Everybody, you know, the narcissist and how the soul tie, all of these things are real. But at some point, you got to just sit there in your, you got to sit there in the situation and you got to look at this thing. You got to say, okay, this is killing me. There's a part of me that's attached to this, but I know that's not healthy. It's not productive. I got to make a decision to let this go. And I got to sit in it until I overcome this urge. A lot of times you don't overcome the pull of the soul ties because you keep going back, re-embracing it. You got to just make up your mind. You're going to let it go and you're going to walk through the pain. You have to be willing to walk through the pain of purification. As your soul is being cleansed, it's going to hurt. As you drop in friends that never really should have been in your life, it's going to hurt. But you got to make a decision to let it go. We find it hard to be finished. We find it very difficult to be finished with the things that are dead, clearly dead. And it's the visual of a person that keeps performing CPR on things that haven't had a pulse for a long time. It's like performing CPR on a corpse. I was walking through the hospital the other day, and I looked on one of the things, and they had little flip signs over doors, and on certain doors you walk past, they'd have DNR, do not resuscitate. In other words, if this person colds, don't bring them back. But how many of us are working on things that have colded? And we're wearing ourselves out. You know, when those people performing CPR and they're just pushing and working more, that's a whole lot of work, just constantly. And how many folk on here tonight are wearing yourselves out trying to breathe life back into something that has not had a pulse for a long time? Are you going to go into a new decade with a dead relationship that you've been trying to resuscitate for the last decade gone? Some of y'all been working on it for the last two decades. Are you going to bring that into? Are you still around here trying to fit into this circle that you call friends? and you're a friend to them, but they've never been friends to you, are you still around here? And you haven't let this go yet? What is wrong with you? You got to be delivered. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. I'm almost done. He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Remember not the former things. Forget the stuff that's behind you. Neither consider the things of old. Stop remembering the good old times. We're looking for some good new times now. Behold, look, observe, pay attention. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, when you take your eyes off what's behind you and you let that go and you look forward to what I have for you, I will begin to create miracles. Way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. God says, I have some miraculous stuff. I'm trying to bring the past in your life. Okay, here's the real. A lot of you that are concerned with mostly ladies, when is my husband going to show up? Well, he may have shown up a few times. But every time he shows up, every time the king shows up, you got the clown sitting on the throne. See, you can't expect me to park the car when you got somebody else in the space. Because you haven't let that go. See, there are too many of us that want to hold on to what was and think we're going to take hold of what can be. Not going to happen. You got to let that go and you got to fully embrace what God has for you moving forward. And then God says, behold, look, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to show you some stuff you've never seen before. But you don't want to let that go. That's why. And then finally, the fourth difficult decision that determines destiny. What was number one? Number one was the decision to forgive. Number two was to take responsibility. Number three was to let it go. And then number four is to finally do it. You've been talking about it, but it's time to make the decision to finally do it. You've been just procrastinating. You've just been procrastinating, running your mouth, wasting time. I mean, absolutely wasting time in life. God has given you so much potential that you have not even committed yourself to pursuing. You're just sitting around wasting life. And the Lord says, now it's time for you to make the difficult decision to finally do it. Just make up your mind you're going to do it. It is not going to happen until you do it. Nobody's going to ride in on a white horse and dun-dun-dun-dun, save the day and do it for you. It ain't going to happen until you do it. And you have to make the decision that in 2020, I'm doing it, period. In fact, about it, I'm going to get started this week, before this last week of 2019 ends. I'm going to get started because I'm making a decision right now to do it. Let's pray, and then I'm going to finish this. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the oil, for the grace of decisiveness. I bind the spirit of procrastination and confusion, lethargy, laziness. I bind them in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for the power that works within us to make a decision. And we make a decision now that we're going to do it. Whatever you've put in our hearts, we are going to do it. We're not going to sit around waiting. We're not waiting on, you know, some group to come in and support us. God, we're going to do it with whatever you've given us. We're going to do it. I make a decision tonight. I'm going to do it. Jesus' name. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, whatever you're going to do, you got to do while you're living. Have you noticed how fast the years are passing by? Well, it ain't going to happen once you check out of here. You can't leave no you can't create no legacy once you're dead. You got to do what you're going to do while you're breathing. But you got to make a decision to finally do it. What is it? What is it that you have in your heart that God expects you to produce before you die? And you're just sitting around wasting life, producing none of it. What is it? You got to make a decision now. I'm going to do it. I'm scared. I don't care nothing about that. I'm going to do it. And look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, 4 through 6. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb, of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What he's saying is, if you're sitting around waiting on the perfect time to do what you know you're supposed to do, you'll never do anything. You're just observing this. Oh, it's not a good time. It's never going to be a good time. At some point, you got to just make up your mind. This is the time I have, and I'm going to do it. I'm taking advantage of the time that I have, and I'm going to do it. Thank you, Shar. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. 2020 is my year to get off of my bottom. Stop making all of these excuses. Well, I'm too old. Well, you know, I'm traumatized. I got PTSD. I may have all that, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm not regarding no age. I'm doing it. I don't care nothing about what my bank account look like. I'm doing it. I'm going to make the first step. God's going to show me miracles. I'm going to forget what's behind me, and I'm going to step into what God has in front of me, and I'm going to see the power of God do for me what I could have never done for myself. All God is waiting on is for me to do it. And I'm going to make the tough decision to do it. So that's my little message for tonight on this Christmas Eve. And I hope to come to you a little more on next week as we wind the year down. Fact about it, this may be premature, but I'll say it. I invite you, if you're anywhere around the cities of New Orleans, Louisiana, or Houston, Texas, I invite you now. Lori, God bless you. That's my baby from Los Angeles. God bless you. I invite you now to join us this weekend at the New Home Family Worship Center. I'm going to be talking about, pay close attention, because I'm going to be talking about making a contract with yourself for 2020. Making a contract with yourself, not a resolution, but a contract with yourself for 2020. And if I'm able to do what I'm thinking, it'll be something that, If you plan on attending, you'll be able to download the document and print it and bring it with you. Thank you, Janella. Thank you. I'm amazing. God bless you. You'll be able to download it and print it and bring it to the service with you as we go through the lesson. Certain parts of it you'll be able to fill in, and when we're done, you'll have all of the notes to the lesson, making a contract with myself for 2020. I'm intent that you are going to get more out of life in 2020. If you follow me, I'm going to do my best to give you some of the tools to actually maximize your life for 2020. So this weekend at New Home Family Worship Center, New Orleans, 8 a.m., 9 a.m. in the east, 8 a.m. uptown New Orleans, and in Houston, Texas for 11 a.m., all three of those services, I invite you to come and to be a part of it. It's going to bless your life, right? Also, if you're anywhere around the cities of New Orleans or Houston, you can join us for Christmas worship tomorrow in New Orleans, 9 a.m., East New Orleans and Uptown, and even in Houston at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Lisa and I would love to meet you if you're anywhere around Houston. And, okay, don't forget this, and I got to go. We are coming to London, England. Lisa and I are bringing Queenology to London, England, March the 27th and the 28th. If you go to rscblakes.com, you can get tickets for that event. Queenology comes to London, England. That Friday night, the 27th, we'll have dinner, we'll have Q&A, maybe a panel discussion of some kind. And then that Saturday, we wake up that morning, and it's going to be 4 hours or so of just, you know, pouring over the five tenets of Queen Consciousness. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing in London, England. And I want all of you that are in Europe, I need you to help me to spread the word. rcblakes.com. Go there, and I would love to see you in London, England. Also, don't forget that in July of 2020, we're having the Queenology Western Caribbean Cruise. And what are the dates, Lee? July 19th through the 26th. Also at rscblakes.com, you can get the information about how to tap into that if you desire to come and to cruise with us. We're calling it the Queenology Cruise. I will have released my book. In fact, I spent all day today writing on my book, Kingology. I will have released it by then. And if we have enough men, we'll have sessions for the kings as well as the queens. It's going to be amazing, man. Stay tuned. We have a powerful conference coming up in June. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be life-changing. If you're anywhere around Chicago, I'll be in Chicago next month in January. I'll be in Chicago. Go to my website, rcblakes.com, and look under live events, and you can plug into the information about where I'll be in Chicago. It won't be my event. I'm the guest speaker, but I think I have like 2.5 to 3 hours to really just deal with the people that will be present. And I'd love to see you. So many of you asked for me to come to Chicago, and we are bringing Queenology to Chicago, but I'll be there next month, and the registration is very, very minimal. So I'd love to see you in Chicago when I'm there. Anything I'm forgetting, Lee? That's it. That's it. That's all, folks. I love you all. I'll talk to you real soon. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.